Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful you've tuned in to this Thursday session of Abounding Grace Radio. We're concluding our study today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where here the Apostle Paul is admonishing and teaching this church about its responsibility to not compromise the message and the method of gospel preaching in order to win the lost. And this is an extremely important point in our day where the apostle says here, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, this is really important of what he's been teaching this church in Corinth that was getting caught up in the pressures of trying to make the gospel contemporized, if you will, to the culture. God has always told us about ways that he works. He's never wanted any of the glory to go to man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he had said very clearly that he chose something foolish to put to shame the wisdom of the wise, the world's wisdom. That the method that he chose to save is by the foolishness of the message preached. Now, we've been considering that this week. But think about it. Remember Gideon's army? 3,000 is what Gideon thought he should take in, and those would be the strong men to go in and defeat the Midianites. Remember that? God whittled it down to 300 weak men. They didn't even use strong weapons, if you will, a torch and a lantern and these sort of things. God wanted the entire victory not to be attributed to Gideon and his powerful army, not by the might of his army, but by God's glorious power, might, and wisdom, that the glory would go to God alone. I think that's so important for the church today to remember. We can tally up numbers. We're obsessed with numbers today. We're obsessed with size and how many conversions, how many people are coming in, how big the church is. God's not impressed with any of that. Just read throughout the Old Testament. The one thing that invited quick and swift judgment was when Israel started numbering its armies, placed its confidence in the other armies of the world instead of their own God to gain them the victory. The entire goal of ministry is the glorification of God and the salvation of souls. God has given us this treasure in earthen vessels, in weak fleshly bodies. For what reason? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So what we've seen, what have we seen? The grace that God gives has a method by which it comes. Through the preaching of the word, the authoritative proclamation of the gospel, something in total contradiction to the world's wisdom, methods, and ways. But God has not only told us what the method is, he's told us what the message is to be. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." I wish we could understand this combination. When Paul said this in the ancient world, Christ and him crucified, Messiah and him accursed, Messiah and him dying on a tree, that was the worst of punishments reserved for a criminal. Messiah to them meant power, splendor, triumph, conqueror. Paul says, "I proclaim that this triumphal Messiah was crucified," which in their ears meant weak, humiliated, and defeated. Can you imagine a message coming to them in their culture of a Roman god who was crucified? They made beautiful statues for their gods. What is Paul saying? That the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who is true and eternal God, was crucified at the hands of sinners to save sinners from death. This goes against the world's wisdom in every way. And that is just the point Paul is making. It's precisely that foolishness of even what the message is to the world that God makes powerful in the hearts and lives of people when it is faithfully administered. You know? Paul can say a crucified, how Paul, somebody could ask, could a crucified Messiah make any headway in the Greco-Roman world? Yet it was in this very weakness of God, the gospel of a crucified Christ, that Paul knew and knew that God had chosen this means, method, and message to save those who believe. I guess my question then is, why are Christians all around us, and I face this danger, you face this danger, why do we so easily turn to golden calves? I'm becoming increasingly convinced that the church has almost all but forgotten how to preach Christ and Him crucified. Instead, we preach, as one pastor said, humanity and it improved. You know, we're in the U.S., and our preaching is like preaching at Disneyland. You know, we sweep up the cigarette butts. This is just a life of games and toys and fun, and we cover all the problems. We have to bring, you know, in this, the Lord is calling us to bring the message in a Disneyland of a bloody crucified Savior hanging on a cursed tree, splinters and all. In an outward setting where everyone looks beautiful. This is what the Lord is calling us to do. What a challenge, you know, I'm faced with constantly, you know, as a pastor, feeling the pressure of this, you know. People don't have long attention spans anymore for sermons that aren't, quote, relevant. And often I hear that, you know, often we hear this right after preaching Christ and Him crucified. Someone will say, well, how does that apply to my life? What do you mean? How does that apply to your life? You're a sinner. And God sent His Son to die for you. That's the most relevant message God could have ever given. That's how people are saved from hell. No, no, what's behind that today is the idea is, how can I have my heaven here on earth now? You see, practical improvement, all these emphasis on to-do lists, takes away the entire focus away from God's might, God's mighty act of deliverance. As we are today focused on self-help and improvement, mindless application. The Apostle Paul would have never heard of it. I know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. The gospel of a suffering, dying Savior to pay for our sins was at the heart of all He did. It was His single passion. And you know, it's mine for you. I want that for everyone. I want that for every church out there, because it's the one message that God has chosen to overturn the entire world system, and the one message that He has chosen with a method to save those who believe. When I'm asked to do something different, you know, pardon me if I choose not to put an entire congregation, an entire flock in jeopardy, and my own soul in jeopardy of hellfire because of somebody's selfish wants in the present. Paul says in verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Trembling, yes, because of the message itself. There's a terrible weight of this message. It's not a light thing. It's not a casual thing. We are ambassadors carrying treaty seals, carrying the weight of a message that's able to save or to destroy. Called by God, sending God's salvation message to sinners. That should bring fear. That should bring trembling when a man steps up there to instruct people in this truth. That we're not doing it in our wisdom, our planning, our teams. I'm not a coach. I'm doing it as I'm called and sent by God to herald a message that the Apostle Paul says here saves a soul from death. You know? No, let me leave you with this thought today as we close. There's no power in the man doing it. Today we're obsessed with the man. It's in the message. The men die, the message goes on. As a man stands up and faithfully heralds to you the gospel of Christ, as he faithfully tends to that calling, guess what happens? The Spirit chooses to work. The Holy Spirit. Souls are reborn. Flesh comes upon them. In the valley of dry bones, an army stands up through the Spirit and His power. Faith is created in the heart so that when one comes to faith, when they hear and believe through the foolishness of the message preached, all of the glory, all of the power, all of the wisdom is of God. In the days of Nehemiah, after Israel had been carried away to Babylon in judgment for not listening to the Lord's word, you know what happened? As they came back into the land, a grand pulpit was raised. I'm not sure we know what a pulpit is anymore. The reason churches had pulpits, by the way, is not because it's a tired old piece of furniture, but because it was the centerpiece where the Bible was put. You didn't even want to see the man. The pulpit kind of blocked the man. Today, it's a stage. It wasn't a stage. It was a pulpit. And there on the pulpit was the centerpiece of everything we do. The Word of God opened. In Nehemiah 8, this is what you find. A grand pulpit was raised up, a platform of wood. That's what a pulpit is. And he stood above all the people on this platform of wood. And all the people were worshiping with their faces to the ground. The symbolism was clear. The nation had again gathered under the Word of God. They were not on equal ground. They were hearing God's spokesman. And there was such diligence, such reverence, such submission to worship the great God of heaven and earth under the Word. Do you know that years ago, across denominational lines, this was the practice? In the days of the Reformation, pulpits were raised high above the people. You used to have to walk up into them and plant your feet. Pastor couldn't walk around. It wasn't a stage. Men would have to walk up into the pulpits. You go to Europe and you see this. You'll see the pulpits attached to walls. And the heralder of the Word of God would stand there and do nothing but exposit that word to the people. There was something symbolic about that old heavy furniture in God's house, bolted in pews, a raised pulpit, a communion table, a baptismal font, common to find everywhere, you know. Today, that's all but been abandoned. The damage has been huge. We've left the impression to the world that coming to church is only coming to hear a man and not God. And sadly, in an effort for evangelistic outreach, we've abandoned the one thing he has promised to bless in the saving of souls. After you've heard this week on Abounding Grace, would you at least consider, why would you give your soul and life to hear gimmicks, to be fed with that? We should become righteously angry when a man stands up and refuses to preach Christ and him crucified. My heart goes out for the people who sit under that. They are simply sheep who've been neglected by compromising shepherds. May we today consider deeply what it means to belong to the Church of Christ. If you're a Christian, reorienting yourself to long to hear the Word of God, it may make you feel uncomfortable. Often it will. The pastor's doing his job. He's exposing sin in your life. But the goal is always the same. The goal is to turn you away from yourself to the beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. That seeing your sin, you would then look to Him in His righteousness and take great delight that God gave His Son that you might be released from that bondage and now live for righteousness to Him. May we all deeply desire that in our churches. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.